Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, 9th of November, and the start of the Marcus Spy section. I will get to that soon. A bit of market stuff first. Our market, we're not really doing anything today. Down 3 points. Futures were up 9. We fell 5 yesterday. Market, we're not really going anywhere. US markets, fresh record highs. The S&P has its 8th record on the trot. Good jobs numbers on Friday. The tapering has started without a tantrum. We're into the period of time where you would talk about the Santa Claus rally, which is, I will write about that in a day or two, but that's where the US market takes off ahead of January, which is when all the new money arrives at the beginning of the financial year. They've got their infrastructure bill going. Bitcoin hits a record high. Alphabet, or Google, hits a $2 trillion market cap. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Clarida, have I pronounced that right, says the necessary conditions are there for the US to raise interest rates twice by the end of next year. Bond yields are going down, though. The RBA successfully defused the bond market bomb that blew up a couple of weeks ago. Iron ore had an okay night. BHP and Rio both up today. The NAB National Bank have had... They are not the National Bank anymore, are they? Anyway, the NAB has had results today. The initial look at them was good. Beat expectations on profits, beat expectations on the dividend by a little bit, and the share price was up almost 1%. As I look at it now, it's down 2.1%. I have not picked up why it has turned over, but there might be something in the presentation I haven't seen yet. Net interest margins were down, but let's see where that goes. All the banks except for the NAB, which goes ex-dividend on November the 15th, all of them are now ex-dividend. The ANZ and Macquarie went ex-dividend yesterday. Westpac at the end of last week. And this is the time where brokers start to tell you to switch out of the banks that have gone ex-dividend and into the banks coming up to a dividend, which would be the NAB ahead of the 15th, or the CBA with results in February. It's a typically lazy broker recommendation to be telling people to switch from one bank to another, where most investors would be better off just leaving it all alone. But there are some big commissions to be had if you can get people to churn the banks, especially if they churn them for income. I've written an article in the past on dividend stripping. The golden rule of dividend stripping is that it doesn't actually work unless the share prices go up. It's a bit of a nil-sum game trying to strip dividends and franking out of stocks. I won't go into it all now. But without the share prices going up, it really isn't worth it, even if you do get the franking refund credit check. But let's not get into that now. And do add a bit of a profits warning, would we call it that? Share price was down a little bit this morning, now unchanged, not much fuss there. NAB business confidence numbers were pretty good this morning. Vulcan Energy Resources, VUL, which got attacked by JCAP with one of those rather pathetic shorting notes or pieces of research telling everyone to sell it after the author has already shorted the stock. Anyway, Vulcan suing them, suing JCAP. About time someone sorted out those shorters. We sort of feel they have an innate credibility when really they possibly don't, other than their own self-interest. James Hardie triples profits is the headline. Share price up 4 cents on the day, which is as good as unchanged. PointsBet having a good day, up about 7%, 8%. On an announcement saying the New York Gaming Commission is recommending them for a license in New York, obviously. Lithium's bouncing after falling yesterday. Coal is on the go. Coal price bouncing up 7% overnight. Some of the coal stocks flying along. Robinhood Markets, which of course is that dealing platform in the US that will take anyone's order. They have managed to leak 5 million email addresses of clients to an unauthorized party. And that's about it for news snippets in the Marcus Today section. Today we've got a bit of a write-up on Kathmandu. This morning Citigroup has got a sell on ProMedicus with a target price 24% below the current share price. And Morgans have got a add on Peter Warren, PWR, with a target price 31% above the current share price. That is Peter Warren Automotive. They've just spent $104 million on the Penfold Motor Group. Henry also quite interested in Chalice Mining, who have announced a new Tier 1 scale mineral resource. That share price flying today, up 21%. They are a WA nickel, copper, Cobalt Gold Explorer. I've also put in the strategy, in the Marcus Today section today, a link to some research on Poseidon Nickel that I found for those interested. Hasn't been going very well recently, doing okay today. Main diary items, jobs numbers in Australia on Thursday, although the RBA has pretty much done its dash in the last week. US inflation numbers tomorrow might move things around. Lots of AGMs this week, BHP one of the main ones. And we've got US results continuing. Right, my new section, the Marcus Spy section. Welcome to the Marcus Spy section. Should be fun. Let's see how this goes. The idea here in the new Marcus Spy section is to provide you with a go-to spot for strategy, the monitoring of our new portfolios, and a place for us to put in, or for me to put in, any ideas. And I'm calling that the MP or Maverick portfolio, or the Marcus portfolio, or the Marcus Padley portfolio. Anyway, the MP portfolio. Each idea will be categorized, qualified for style and time frame, and monitored in the ideas subsection. And the idea is that from the category and the style labels, you should be able to determine whether that idea is of interest to you or not. It's a bit of a personal thing. No time for ideas today. I have been under the pump on my first day of the Marcus Spy section. So a rather lame start to the I in Spy. No ideas today. No idea at all. Strategy in the Spy section today. Bull market settings. Minimal cash. The US has just removed one of the big market risks, which is the announcement of tapering and actually doing tapering. It took them a while, but they got there. They have managed to announce and taper without a tantrum. Well done them. The RBA has also just diffused a bond market correction with their meeting last week. They tell us or insist that inflation is transitory, although interest rates could plausibly go up before 2024. They might still not go up until 2024. Whatever they said, it worked. The bond market relaxed. Bond yields coming down here and in the US. As far as valuation's concerned, I think the US markets are looking a touch dangerous at the moment. They are trading at the top of the trading range, long-term trading range, whether you look at log or price charts over any period. The US is at the top of the trading range, and on many measures, be that market cap of the S&P relative to GDP, or historic PE ratio of the market, the US market is looking expensive compared to history. And that makes them primed for a correction, but it's not happening yet. And the game is to react, not predict. There's nothing to react to at the moment. Bull market is on, and you never sell ahead of time for fear of what might happen. You sell at the time on the evidence of what is happening, and it isn't happening at the moment. So happy to sit on bull market settings in the strategy section. Our market not as vulnerable as the US on price and valuation and on PE, because of course the US is vastly more exposed to high PE technology companies than we are. Also on the strategy, I've just mentioned that buying iron ore stocks is one of the biggest potential opportunities in our market at the moment. If we could just stop worrying about Chinese growth, and if they could stop trying to limit steel production, that would be nice. All those stocks would rapidly rebound. I noticed BlueScope Steel coming off the bottom today, up 3.6%. There is money to be made if we can catch the bottom on these iron ore stocks. Last week, the iron ore price came off again, took another leg down. So we're going to need a bit of evidence before getting involved. BHP's AGM this week might provide some intelligence on when that might happen. We will see. And I've put a little side note in the strategy section today. I still think the big one, which is the big correction, which will take everything, property, the equity markets, the lot down, is coming one day. This is the price, this is the correction we have for over a decade of central bank support and money printing and protecting the financial markets, and for the doubling of US money printing in the last 18 months since the pandemic. We have to pay a price for that one day, but maybe not this year, maybe not this decade, maybe not even in my lifetime. So let's not worry about it for now. But I do think, as I think we all know, that at some point all this money printing has to come home to roost. Just hasn't yet. Right. On the portfolios front, we've done the strategy, we've done the ideas. No ideas. We've got the portfolios. I can't eat the elephant in one bite, so I haven't done them all today. the new portfolios are the RBP, which is the really boring portfolio, which I'm going to do today. The FUFU portfolio, which was the collection of stocks we'll buy forever unless they stuff up. Let's call it that, the FUFU portfolio. These will be long-term forever stocks unless they go wrong. Their portfolio is expected to be long-duration stock picks. We'll try and keep trading to a minimum. And if we exit some, we'll replace them only when they go wrong. This will be built on the bones of the existing growth portfolio. So I'll start with that out of respect for the people that have followed that portfolio. I will start with that and make changes to that, which will include selling some stocks, buying some stocks. And I will get to that. That portfolio is actually doing okay at the moment. So there's no rush, no risk unless the market tips over. I will get to the changes. That's the FUFU portfolio. And then I've got the DAF portfolio, which I could call the DAFT portfolio, the DAF, Dividends and Franking Portfolio. This is the long-term, low-activity, income-focused Dividends and Franking Portfolio. Set and forget unless you're upset. And this will use, or I will use, the existing income portfolio. Again, out of respect to those of you that are holding it, I will use the existing income portfolio and make changes to that. Sell some stocks, buy some stocks. Again, no great rush, especially after most of the big banks have gone ex-dividend already, just the NAB coming up. And I will get to the FUFU and the DAF portfolios in good time. Right, so today I've done a bit of re-engineering of the RBP, the really boring portfolio. So this is the long-run, long-term market-matching portfolio. So all we need here are exposures to the market. Now, you can do that in a number of ways. I'm going to do it through ETFs, and you'll see the changes I'm going to make. I've started with the existing ETF portfolio, again, out of respect to those of you that hold it. There's an interesting thing going on here. I am just after market exposures. I don't want to take any bets in this portfolio. I just want exposures to equity markets. So I am going to get rid of the Asia ETF, the HACC ETF, which is cybersecurity, the NASDAQ ETF, and I have to choose. I don't want two ETFs over the ASX, so I'm just going to choose the A200 Better Shares ETF, which gives you an exposure to the ASX 200, and I'll keep the iShares S&P 500 ETF, which gives you an S&P 500 exposure in Aussie dollars, so the currency matters. If the Aussie dollar goes down, that becomes worth more in Australia. So it's a bit of a bet on the Aussie dollar going down, which I quite like that dynamic, rather than hedging the US dollars, which also costs money. So IVV is the code, and the other one we're holding on to is A200. So selling STW, which was the other ASX 200 ETF, selling the NASDAQ ETF, the HACC, and the Asia ETFs. So we will end up with just the A200 and the IVV S&P 500 ETFs. Those will do for the moment. I did look at QUAL, Q-U-A-L, which is 300 quality stocks across the world. But no, I think I'd prefer just to be Australia and the US. We do all the macro stuff for Australia and the US, so we have opinions on the US and Australian markets more so than having an opinion on the globe. So quite happy to just hold the US and Australia. But there are no rules here. I could buy anything in this portfolio, anything that exposes us to any market, but those will do as a start. So it's a two-stock portfolio, and that is what you call a really boring portfolio, which is exactly what it is intended to be. And for now, the strategy is fully invested, no cash, bull market settings, and we will manage those in the Marcus Spy section through the strategy bit. So if we decide that the once in a 10-year correction's coming, we will look at ETFs exposed to things like fixed interest or cash, and we will play with the equities versus cash asset allocation or ratio in this portfolio. So this portfolio is simply a market matching portfolio, hopefully compounding with a strategy overlay. We're not trading, we're not taking bets on themes, we're not stock picking, and this is a sleep at night without trading portfolio, without stock picking, and attempts to avoid meaningful corrections through a top line strategy. So it's a portfolio that reflects the market in the good times, but not necessarily all the time. Now, a couple of interesting observations about this is really a strategy portfolio. So you might have holdings in, say, listed investment companies, LICs. So an LIC like AFIC or Argo does something similar. It reflects the market. Yes, they don't necessarily compound. They'll pay frank dividends, although you could invest in their DRPs and reinvest the dividends, but you don't get the same efficient compounding. Plus, the management costs are higher in listed investment companies, and the matching of the market is less efficient, and the index changes are less efficient in an LIC, if they make them at all. So I'm happy to use ETFs, which are cheaper, compounding, more efficient, and they make the index constituent changes effortlessly. They're low maintenance, so prefer them to LICs. But you could easily be holding LICs, or you could even be holding a portfolio of 20 stocks and just use this strategy in this portfolio as your decision maker or decision helper as regards what we think about the market. The other thing you could be doing, which I think is a great solution. I think if I was super wealthy, rather than waking up and stock picking, I'd want to wake up and concentrate on my golf handicap. In which case, I might, if I was wealthy, put all my money in an industry super fund or a retail super fund. Might sound silly, but they provide you with a very low volatility, low risk exposure to the markets in a very balanced way. So they have a number of asset classes apart from equities. And I would be happy to play golf and sit with their mobile app on my phone. And occasionally when I wake up on a Saturday and see the market's gone to pot, get my mobile phone out and change my settings from aggressive, which aren't really very aggressive in industry super funds. 70% equities is aggressive for big super funds. We are 100% equities here. So this portfolio may be really boring, but it's actually super aggressive in finance industry terms or funds management industry terms. So what you could do is just use this to decide when to click on the cash setting as opposed to the aggressive setting on your mobile app in your big industry super fund. So you don't need to do any stock picking. You don't need to buy the ETFs we've got. You could just be sitting on your super in some industry fund or some retail super fund and use this portfolio as something that will help you spot when you should be getting your mobile phone app up and changing your settings. And of course, apart from trying to protect you from corrections, we will also try and time getting back into the market as well when corrections happen. And I do emphasize the idea here is that if the market goes up forever, we don't do anything at all, and that would be nirvana. And I don't expect to be trading the market 4 or 5 times a year. We've learned our lessons trying to do that. I would expect to be doing it once every 10 years or once every 3 years, but not multiple times a year. We're not trying to trade the market. We're trying to protect ourselves from the occasional unusual corrections if they happen. So there you go. So that's the really boring portfolio. The A200 and the IVV ETFs giving us a 50-50 exposure to the US and Australia. I've just chosen 50-50. It's arbitrary. We could change that later. But that will be the really boring portfolio. And the emphasis is on the strategy, on the cash versus equity settings. And for now, are 100% equities. Right, there we go. That's the spy, the maiden spy section. And we've looked at the really boring portfolio. I will start to address the FUFU portfolio, the DAF portfolio, and the MP portfolio, the ideas portfolio, as time goes by. Right, that's about it. As I leave you, our market is up 6. SPY futures down 93. Resources up, banks down, NAB down 2.1% now. Energy down, coal up, lithium up, resources up. You have a fabulous day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.